For WKNO News, I'm Christopher Blank. It's a story that defies logic even as it continues to unravel. A year ago, the Memphis Police Department revealed that more than 12,000 rape kits, those kits used to collect DNA evidence for serious crimes, had gone untested, some dating back to the 1980s. The Commercial Appeal's Special Projects reporter, Mark Paraschia, has been following the story since January. He joins us today to talk about where it stands. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Mark, just to get people up to speed on this, where were these rape kits discovered and why weren't they ever tested?
Well, Christopher, the rape kits were discovered in three or four different facilities that the Memphis Police Department maintained for storage of evidence. They were scattered among the many, many cases that the MPD had accumulated in investigating murder, rape, robbery, etc., and in many cases were just forgotten.
One recent story that you did was about one victim robbed and raped in 1988 by three men. What happened to the evidence specifically in her case?
Some of the evidence was actually destroyed, we found out. There was critical evidence that was collected from her apartment where she was raped, and the police destroyed it in 2002, evidently operating under a faulty legal memo that they got from the district attorney's office telling them that they could destroy evidence in cases that were 6 years old and unsolved. As it turns out, there was no statute of limitations because of the aggravating circumstances in her case, and her case could still be prosecuted today if they could ever identify the perpetrators.
As a journalist, what have been some of the challenges in covering this story?
The challenges have been immense. From the time that I got involved in the story, there was already a suit filed, a lawsuit. And so from the time forward that I got involved, they've pretty much battened down the hatches, circled the wagons, and have not provided any information through interviews. Records have been very hard to get as well.
Where do you get these records?
In Terry's case, we did a privacy waiver. We felt that that was the best way to pursue this because it has been tough getting even the most basic records. So we, you know, got her to get a signed, notarized statement and produce the records to us as if they were giving them to her under the theory that they would be more forthcoming to a victim. In one instance, I'm still waiting. I asked for the police for the written policies on investigating sexual assault. Back in April, I asked for them, and they haven't produced it yet. Why? We don't know.
This story has been very embarrassing for the Memphis Police Department, and I wonder, does that create resistance in getting answers?
I think arguably it does. In fairness to them, this administration, Mayor Wharton's administration, has done a lot to try to correct this situation. They inherited decades of problems that they were not directly responsible for. The police who are sitting there now and the administration aren't. So, and they've been raising a lot of funds to test this very expensive testing of these rape kits. They're building a new facility. They're undergoing a lot of new training, and so they're doing a lot. But yeah, I think, you know, obviously there's some natural, I think, you know, human resistance.
What are some of the big questions that journalists still need to get at in this developing case?
Well, there are some very huge questions that we've only been able to scratch the surface on, but that we've discovered in going through this process. And one is the destruction of evidence in old cases. It seems that they have improperly destroyed evidence in old cases. We don't know to what degree or depth. That's something that we really are trying to drill down and find the answers to. We don't know what their written policies were. What kind of standards were they operating under? Since 2005, the International Association of Chiefs of Police has had a very detailed model policy for investigating sexual assault. Were they following that? We don't know. There's just a lot of questions that we can't get answers to.
Your story reveals this kind of apathy of crime investigators in Memphis. In your story, you have the victim repeatedly calling a police sergeant to ask about test results. And after finally getting him on the phone, he says that the test itself is negative and there's nothing to be done. And by the way, he's got to go to lunch. Have other victims you've spoken to described similar treatment?
They have. I mean, every victim that I've talked to has been pretty much a one-way street, them calling the police and the police getting back to them. But in fairness, again, to the police, they're overwhelmed. I think they've got, especially now that they've discovered there's this huge backlog of these thousands and thousands and thousands of cases that they've got to deal with. It doesn't make it any easier for the individual victim, but they do have a lot on their plate.
What are some of the things that the city has been doing to correct this problem at this point?
Well, they are testing the rape kits. It's very expensive to do this DNA testing. It's going to cost them somewhere in the neighborhood of $6.5 million. Mayor Wharton has very aggressively found funding, and they're undergoing a lot of new training for officers to investigate sexual assault. So really, they've done a lot. They're looked at right now as being one of the leaders in reforming, nationally, in reforming police policy regarding sexual assault.
One of the things that you've mentioned in the past is that the technology today is different than the technology from 20 years ago, and we have better ways of testing rape kits. A rape kit from 1980 is different, has had a different meaning to investigators back then than it does to investigators today. Is that right?
Well, that's absolutely right. I think the police back then didn't realize the possibilities, and it took so long for the DNA technology, which, you know, was only developed in the 1980s, and it took years for it to really catch on as a standard law enforcement tool. You know, back then, in the late 80s, when Terry Burks was assaulted, they couldn't even do DNA testing. They weren't doing it then. They didn't have a Tennessee Bureau of Investigation lab doing DNA testing. They did it locally. They must have done some sort of blood type testing, which is what they did back in those days. And it couldn't uniquely identify a perpetrator, but it could narrow it, you know, to within a certain, you know, like your certain blood type, type A, type O. And so there were, you know, it took a while for these technologies to catch on.
It seems like at this point, there's a lot of finger pointing going on. Is there somebody ultimately going to be responsible for this, or was this a systemic problem?
It was systemic, and it was systemic across the country. This was not unique to Memphis, but certain things happened here that we still don't have the answers to, like, you know, were they improperly destroying evidence? Lots of police departments didn't realize the potential of DNA and warehoused it without, you know, kind of a systemic failure of failing to test it. But there are additional things that we're uncovering here, like the destruction of evidence. How widespread was that? Were they destroying evidence in prosecutable cases, destroying it wrongly? You know, those are the things that we need answers to.
This is a big story and an emotional story, especially for you as a journalist. What does working on this story mean to you?
I think it's an important story. It means a lot to the individual victims that I've worked with, and it brings me, you know, some personal satisfaction, really, in a story that, you know, you can follow the old journalistic adage of, you know, afflict the comfortable and comfort the afflicted. And there's victims who are really hurting, who are seeking answers that they just can't get to.
Mark Paraskia is a special projects reporter for the Commercial Appeal. We hope that you'll come back and talk to us more as this story unfolds.
I definitely hope to, Christopher.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.